Let me say thank you, Jesus. There are different postures. You could be seated if you want to. Amen. But if you still feel like praying, you can do that. Amen. Isn't it good? There's so many things that we can do. Jesse, I tell you what, I'm just going to be about here. Feel a little bit lazy tonight. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord again. There are so many things we have to cover. Amen?
Amen.
But if your heart is open, we can grab a hold of the best from God. And as we were praying, you know, we think, well, we do. There's so many things that we just don't know. You know that? As Christians, there are just so many things that we just don't know. How do we cover all the basics? And you know what? We're just going to start to put down a lot of foundations. A lot of people really don't know anything about prayer. A lot of people haven't really sat through prayer or been involved in prayer ministries and learned the different types of prayers you can pray and how to get certain things accomplished and how to develop a prayer life. And we're going to start to sow some of those seeds, you know, seeds of worship and praise, amen, seeds of celebrating God, but also we want to develop our body, you know, especially on Wednesday nights and some of these off nights like Wednesday nights or Friday nights, where we can start to really put in some prayer time. Because that's usually for people a little bit more into God than the average person. Amen. So we want to really get us start teaching different ways that we can pray. Is that all right? If we take some of that time, we'll still get started. You'll still get it. Won't take any more extra time that we do that. And we'll just follow the Holy Ghost. And you know what will happen by the end of that season? You'll develop a love for prayer. You'll develop a love for prayer. You know, when you first get into it, it just like wears you out. And you figure out that there are different ways that you can pray. And you can really get turned on with prayer. You can get addicted to prayer. You know, and so we want to start to get in that area. And not many people have been touched by prayer ministries enough to really pass it on to somebody else. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And we can stand praying. You know, we just stand praying. Sometimes you don't want to stand silent in prayer because you're too tired or too lazy. Amen. You never do things because of how you feel, but you have to discern your spirit and pray in that form, in the fashion in which you want to pray. Amen. And learn why we pray in the spirit. When is it proper to pray in the spirit? And when we're all praying in the spirit, why do we all pray in the spirit? What does it accomplish for us all to pray in the spirit? Amen. What does it accomplish when we all pray in English and quote the same thing and we get into different confessions? What can we accomplish through prayer? How many believe in the power of prayer? Amen. And we want to develop. You know, the Jesus' disciples told him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, when you stand praying, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. He taught them to pray. And I think that's something that we want to do or that we need to do as individuals. There are several things that we really got on our heart, and I don't know how we're going to get them across. One is the prayer life. The other one, we need to get into end times. You know, we saw, I got up real late last night and started watching a movie. Amen. Just these are the last days, and we need to be prepared for the last days, so we want to really start getting into last days teaching. But as I said on Sunday, I want to hit friends. Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise
you know, these meetings do you no good unless you apply them. Apply the things that you hear from your life. And I tell you what, I've been in this thing for a while. The teaching's not that bad, and I'm not just saying that because I'm doing it. But, you know, I just, you know, Irene was out this week, and I got a chance to just to edit, you know, some of the stuff, that, you know, this weekend's messages that we heard. That's a lot of meat. That's really a lot of meat. And there's no way possible you're going to digest all of that in one service. You know, everybody say faith.
Faith
comes by hearing. And that word hearing in the Greek is hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Everybody say hearing and hearing and hearing.
Hearing and hearing and hearing.
Look at the person over there and say hearing,
hearing
and hearing
and hearing
and hearing.
And hearing.
Look at the other one on the other side and say hearing,
hearing
and hearing
and hearing
and hearing.
And hearing.
You're not going to develop faith from having heard. Okay? Faith doesn't come from people that have heard. Faith comes to people that are hearing constantly. Say amen.
Amen.
faith comes to people that are hearing, that, you know, they're like what we were talking about, you know, trees that are planted by the water. David said, you know, I meditate in your word day and night. Amen. We long to hear God. But faith, true faith and true Christian faith, I'm telling you, the power of God becomes manifest to people that are constantly hearing the word. There are a lot. We're just going to give you hardcore Christianity. Look at somebody and say hardcore Christianity. Everybody say it one more time so you get it real clear what we're doing. Somebody say hardcore Christianity. Advanced. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, people say, well, you don't have to go through all of that. Well, to be like you, maybe not. Amen. There are a lot of Christians out there who say, you don't need all that stuff. We don't pray that long in church. We don't shout and scream and have fits. We don't have to go to church 2 and 3 days a week or whatever it is. You don't need all of that. Well, to be what you are, I don't think you need all of that. But to be what I want to be in Jesus Christ and to be what God designed us to be, you know what? We're going to need to be that and then some. That's point blank. It's not going to happen any other way. You know, you get out of something what you put into something. And a lot of times when people aren't getting in anything out of God is because they're not putting anything into God. You reap what you sow. And a lot of times we're reading these Bible stories and we're saying we want to be like all these Bible characters. You know, we want to have David's anointing. We want to have the anointing of all the apostles and all those other people. And we don't do 5%. We don't have 5% of their devotional life. 5% of their commitment life. Amen. We want to reap the fruit of all these people, but we don't want to sow the same seed that they sowed. And when it really breaks down to it, we're no different than they are. You want what the people in the Bible got, do what the people in the Bible did first. See, only God can do what God does. Amen. All the manifestations were God. Those people didn't do anything but put their faith in God. But if you do the first ingredients, many times we don't even do the things that they start out to do. Follow me and I will make you disciples. And that's the first thing. Many people don't get to be disciples because they don't decide to follow God. Amen? Amen. You do your part. And your part, I tell you what, call me crazy, call me nuts, or call me whatever. It is more than what contemporary Christian theology will tell you that it is. Somebody say, amen?
Amen.
And I want to go for it. Amen. And I want you to go for it too. Amen. You can camp out anywhere you want to camp out, but it's going to take some praise. It's going to take some worship. It's going to take a prayer life on a daily basis because we're about to get out of here. Did you know that? We are about to leave. Jesus is coming. And we don't teach on that a lot. I know we say that all the time, but we really haven't taught on the rapture or things to come. But you're first group people. You're not second group people. I don't minister to second group people. You're not going to be here through the tribulation. You're pre-tribulation people. Amen. You're doing what it takes. When Jesus comes the first time, you're going to be caught away. You're going to be part of that seven-year group. Don't you know there's a group that leaves first? For 7 years, everybody's waiting for the Antichrist to show up. But before the Antichrist really gets to take power, the church will be caught away for 7 years. And during that seven-year period, all hell's going to break loose. Did you know that? People are expecting all hell to break loose now. Well, most of the things that they talk about in the Bible, these things will take place, all these things will take place in the last days. Rumors of war, hear famine throughout all the land. If we would just open our eyes, we're finding that some of these things are already coming to pass. I looked in the paper today, and in the paper today, it had something in the paper about right here in Texas, the West Nile virus. That's an incurable disease that you get bit by a mosquito or something like that bit a bird, and you're going to kick it. You're going to die. That's a plague in America. Learned on the TV the other day, there's this new fish that came about that they pulled out from some other part of the world, but they got it over here and it crossbreeded with something, and it's causing all kind of problems. They put it in the water, and it eats up everything in the water and then gets out. It's a fish. It'll eat everything up in the pond and get up out of the pond and go across dry land and find a dry land and find another pond and then eat up everything else in the pond, and they don't know what they're going to do. That looks like it's about to get kind of crazy, isn't it? Do you know that in the 80s, they lost 1.5 million people to famine in Africa? Did you know that? 1.5 million people died because they couldn't get food. Wow. It looks like we're heading, and things are, you know, we think it's going to get brighter. No, it's not. It's going to get darker. Amen. But the Bible teaches that there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. And those that are dedicated and ready to go, God will take them. Amen. Everybody that wants to go can go. And you know what? And if you don't go in that first group, praise God, you'll be in the second one. Hallelujah. But God wants you to be in that first group. Somebody say amen. And I don't believe that you get to be in the first group just because certain things, you know. I don't buy this theology of you just say a little prayer here and you got it covered and you're going to be all right. I don't believe in that. I really don't find it scriptural either. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord their God shall be saved. It doesn't mean just call once. It means those that have a calling heart. Those that have a lifestyle of constantly calling out to God. Amen. They're the saved ones. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, anyhow, that's why we're going to start to tune up, because I've got this kick going on that I believe that Jesus is coming and it could happen anytime. And it's going to take some supernatural nutty people, amen, to be ready for him when he comes. We're going to talk about friends. Everybody say friends. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. We're supernatural people, and something about supernatural people, we live by the Bible, and our stuff is not going to be the same as everybody else's stuff. We try to use the Bible today to get us to be just like everybody else. You know, most of the time we preach stuff, we find people in the world that look like they got it all together. So we're going to help you get like everybody else in the world, the top dog in the world. You know, if you do this, you can be blessed like the guy that owns Microsoft or something else. And so we want you to be that happy. If you can be in the top economic group if you do all these things the Bible tells you to do. You can, you know, we're not trying to make you like anybody else in the world. We're trying to make you what Jesus wants you to be. Amen? And we get like that by abiding in the Word and loving one another. Here it says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. Well, this is kind of telling you what a friend is. What is a friend? Somebody say, a friend. Loves at all times. I had someone said fair weather friends. There's no such thing as a fair weather friend. Real friends, they don't learn to love you at all times. They just do. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Friends love at all times. If you're trying to convince your friend to get back in love with you, or to love you, or to be committed, amen, to be there, you know. And you know, love is just basic love. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean they just like you. There's something on the inside of them that God put on the inside of them. It's a commitment there, amen. And there are some emotions there. Real friends that God gives you, he's going to put something supernatural in that relationship, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to love you. And say, a friend loveth at all times. And that means to have affection. Where does affection come from? Where does affection come from? The flesh? Affection comes from God. Amen? That affection is compassion. You know, true godly affection is compassion that God gives us, or divine flow that God gives us. Amen? To accomplish his goals. Friendship, true godly friendship, will accomplish always God's goal. And that's why you want to stay with the relationships, the God-given relationships that God's given you. Because you know what? As you sow into that relationship, as you live with that relationship, amen, as you fight together, as you struggle together to do what God wants you to do, ultimately that relationship's not going to cause you just to have a good time, but it's going to cause you to accomplish God's goal. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So it means those friends are going to have affection. Somebody say, don't let the devil steal your God-given affection for those he's called you to walk with. In the Bible it says, this is how they'll know you're my disciples. Because you know what? You'll love one another. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You'll have the secret of life of what everybody else wants. Everybody else is trying to bribe people into relationships. Have the best house. Have the best yard. If I got the best looking house, everybody's going to want to be over here. If I got the best car, everybody's going to want to ride with me. If I got the best looking wife or the best looking husband, everybody wants to hang around all this stuff. And that's what the world builds relationship on. Believers build relationship on something that God puts on the inside of them. So say, you just know there's something that clicks on the inside. There's a God-given love. It's supernatural. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Friends love at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. And that love means to be affectionate. Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. You need friends. Do you know that? It is God's intention, amen, that every believer have godly relationships. You can't be a friend with the world. Amen? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's what the devil gets so mad about. You know what? I found out as long as I got a friend, I grow in God. Your friends will help you grow in God. Your friends will help you get out of messes. Amen. Whether they bail you out themselves or just their presence will help you get out of stuff. And we'll find that out too. Amen.
Amen.
Says, well, if one falls into the ditch, the other one's there to pull them out. There are some people that will never get out of a ditch because they're expecting God to jump out of the sky. Amen. Or some big angel to jump out of the sky and bail them out. And they don't realize the people that God's put in their life. God puts friends there to help us. Somebody say amen. To pull us out of a ditch when we get stuck. Somebody say, that's what friends are for. It's so sad, you know, that the world sometimes can get stuff that the church is too thick to get. Dion, crazy Dion Warwick, and him sang that song, you know, keep smiling, da da da. I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for. Through good times and bad times. You know, that's something about believers. You know what? You are with people, good or bad. Today, commitment sucks in our nation, even in the church. We don't know anything about commitment. Amen. You know what's going? The present circumstance means everything to us. But you know what? Just basic, you've decided to do something means nothing. That's why marriages go down the drain, friendships go down the drain. It's a sad shame when you can't keep a friend longer than a year or 2, 6 months or 8 months. Amen?
Amen.
God's going to give you his kind of love that you're able to hold on things a little bit longer. Somebody say, work through it.
Work through it.
So, a man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. If you want to, you know, and if you know that God wants you to have friends, how many of you know God wants you to have friends? He's not going to put you out there with somebody you can't stand. You know, and some of the times we sing songs, you know, we do sing, nobody but Jesus you won't ever find. Amen. That's a nice song. But you're going to have to find somebody to walk with. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus sent them out in twos. We're going to find that out. Amen. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, verse 19, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6. So we say, how do you get friends and what do you do with them once you get it? Everybody ask me that question. How do you get a friend?
How do you get a friend?
And what do you do with those friends once you get them? Well, one of the ways you get friends, of course, we read in the Bible, is one way that you get friends is you show yourself friendly. Amen. What does that mean? How do you show yourself? What is the root to friendship? That divine affection that God gives you on the inside of your heart. You start to let that thing shine forth. You start to let that thing flow. Amen. That's how you show yourself friendly. Now, it says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend. Some say, every man.
Every man
is a friend to him that giveth gifts. How many want a master in friendships? Well, if you want to master in friendships and relationships, first thing you got to do is, first of all, everybody show yourself friendly. You don't show yourself friendly, you're not going to have any friends. Amen?
Amen.
The other thing you got to do, somebody say, everybody practice,
everybody
giving gifts.
Gifts.
Let me help you here. Everybody get it off your lips. Somebody say, give. Come on, just say that. So everybody say, come on, give. You know you can give before December. Somebody doesn't have to have a birthday. Amen. Somebody's mother doesn't have to get run over by a car. Nothing bad has to happen. Amen. If you have relationships, amen, you're going to be like Jesus. Amen. You're going to have to learn to live. Somebody say, learn to live. And one of the things I found out about life on earth is nothing more than this. Amen. Receiving and releasing. You know, that's all life on earth is? It's nothing but receiving and releasing, whether it be junk or good. You know, all day long today, you just made decisions and your life was based on nothing about what you took in and what you put out. And that's what your life is basically based on when you're here on earth. So say, yeah. How many of you want to receive good and sow good? I want everybody to practice something right now. I want you to think. I want everybody to give something away right now. Just find somebody and give something away. Just give something away. I dare you. Give something away. Just try it. Just try it. Just try to give something away. Come on. Some of you got real scared, didn't you? Come on, give something away. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to practice this real quick just to let you know it's not too hard. Amen. Oh, we're not going to stop. Pray and ask the Holy Ghost what you should do. Amen. Somebody say, we're going to get this thing down. Don't give them your offering. Amen. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hold on, I got to get to my office. Somebody say, give it away. Hold on, everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. And I want you to practice that real quick. Somebody say, we're going to sow friendships. Amen. I figured out that people don't have relationships, so we got to do what it takes. We can pray and pray and pray, or we can just start moving in the spirit that brings those things to pass. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, glory to God. Come on, people, get better at this. If you don't have a friend, you need to move on this. Hallelujah. I mean, it's not hard to live like Jesus wants you to live. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's really not hard to do that. It's not hard to give something away. Take the price tag off first. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't ever put a price tag on something you got to sell. Amen. How many of y'all want to practice something? Everybody say, repeat this word real quick. Say, live to give. Say it one more time. Live to give. All right. Well, anyhow, I'm gonna sew this real quick. Come on up here, Becky. Amen. Hallelujah. You can have this. And I like this, too. Don't think I was getting you rid of something. Amen. I didn't like. Amen.
Thank you. You want a purple pen?
Huh? I'll take a purple pen. Amen. You want a purple pen? Seriously, life is all about... Tell you what, life here on earth, if you really want to experience life and get control of life, realize what life is all about. Life is all about you decide what you want to take in. You just decide what you want to take in on a daily basis. Tomorrow when you get up, you're going to go to work, and it's all based on what you take in and what you put out.
What have you put out today? Because what you put out is what you're going to get back. Everybody say hallelujah. So don't be griping about not having, you know what? Many of your miserable lives, or many lives are so miserable because they don't have friends. And then they cry about everything else. They cry about not having any good friends. Everybody else in the world's all messed up and nobody's quite like them. But they don't really sow the things they need to sow in order to get those friends. So say amen.
Amen.
So one of the things you got to do if you want to have friends, first of all, you got to show yourself friendly. The other thing you got to do, it says, listen, every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. So show yourself friendly and give gifts. Make that a common practice. I mean, we're believers. There shouldn't be a Sunday that goes by or Wednesday that goes by that somebody's not sowing something or give. You know, it doesn't have to be big stuff, not unless you're big time stuff. I mean, what does it take to give a candy bar or some gum? Amen. I mean, what does it take to do that? I mean, what would it take us to do that? We had one thing at Christ for the Nations where we had Wayne Myers Day or Wayne Myers Week once a quarter. There was a week we called Wayne Myers. And Wayne Myers, anybody ever heard of Wayne Myers? A missionary to Mexico came in. And Wayne Myers he has the message that God gave him. He's called Live to Give. And Wayne Myers was the biggest giver that anyone could find. He was a missionary, and he really believed this. Everything the man got, he gave away. But he couldn't stop getting. The more he would give away, the more he would give. And it got to the point the school would give Brother Wayne Myers cars. And as soon as they give Brother Wayne Myers a car, he'd give the car away. So they found out we can't give him cars in his names anymore. We have to give the car in the school's name and get him to use it so he could keep a car. So one of the things they did once at court, they said, listen, we're going to have Wayne Myers Week, and we want everybody to pray and ask God and be in the spirit of giving and don't hold anything back. Whatever God tells you to sow that week, find somebody and just sow it away. And we just learned that throughout the week. You wouldn't believe the stuff that some people hated Wayne. I used to dress, and I used to pride my, I had a bad wardrobe. You know, the Willie wear was out, and Calvin Klein jackets and different things was out. I lost a wardrobe in 1 week. Amen. And, you know, me and my roommate, I had one roommate that I really enjoyed, and I really enjoyed that room because he had a bad stereo until Wayne Myers Week. Amen? But we have to learn to give. And many of you are miserable because you're always thinking about what you got and what you need and what you want other than what you can put out. You have to believe in the spirit of relationship. And everybody's always thinking. You know, I can tell somebody's always ready to use somebody when they say, everybody's using me. Everybody's using me. That is someone that's seeking to use somebody else. Amen. Hallelujah. So we say praise the Lord. Have we learned anything tonight? Study it in your own Bible and find out and add those things to your life. These are personal things that we can put on there to make our walk here just a little bit better. Because this walk that we have here on this earth until Jesus should come or we're raptured out of here, it's a very difficult walk. And you're going to need some company along the way with this walk. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the company that you keep doesn't come cheap. Everybody tell somebody that. The company you keep
shouldn't come
cheap. When you're not walking alone, don't walk alone. If you're not walking alone, don't act like you're walking alone. What do you mean by that, Pastor Rod? Amen. I'm not here to stay by myself. I'm not here on earth to be. I'm walking with people. I'm walking with people to accomplish the goals that God wants me to accomplish. I'm walking with you. I walk with Brother Jesse and the people here. Amen. We're going someplace. Amen. Together. Oh, I'm not going to go there. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Many people lose friendships because, you know, they can't, you know, friendships that can't take a little bit of stress, it's not really a friendship. Amen?
Amen.
Real friends should be able to get into it and get over it right away. Somebody say amen?
Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, real friends aren't always going to be smiling in your face and letting you look like a fool in front of everybody else. Real churches won't do that either. Amen. Every once in a while, you need a real church and people at the church, and just not people that are just negative all the time. Amen. But just sometimes people need to have somebody get in their face and tell them the truth. Amen. So say, faithful. Hallelujah. Are the wounds of a friend. And if you're going to have relationships and you walk with people, every once in a while, you're going to have days when that friend has to tell you what's up, just to help you out. And you're not going to want to hear what they're telling you. Amen. Many times our friends tell you, girl, he no good for you. Amen. Many times our friends tell you, you know what? You do have an attitude. No, you are the problem. You know? And it hurts sometimes when people tell us that. And the minute that one of our friends wounds us, or wounds our ego, or wounds our pride, you know what the devil does? He sends a kissing enemy. Amen? That's what he does. He waits for your friend to give you a much well-deserved wound. Amen? And then he'll send kissing enemies your way. You know, you got to be careful. I don't want friends that are always going to be kissing me on my face and letting me run around looking like I'm crazy. You don't want church people like that. Those are phony relationships. Real relationships, someone looks at you straight up and tells you the truth and they get over it. So don't expect, you know, they're going to make you mad sometime. Well, they don't have to make you mad. They're going to wound you sometimes. Sometimes the things they say may hurt just a little bit. Amen. But you decide whether you want to get mad about it. Amen? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
Someone told me the things you love the most have the ability to hurt you the most. Usually there's someone that you don't give a rip about and they don't mean anything to you and they call your name. It don't mean nothing because you don't care about them. Amen. But you let somebody, oh, they're really close to you. And they say something, boy, that goes right to the core because they're so close to that heart. So if you're going to have friends, so say, if I'm going to have a friend,
I can expect
a wound. So don't let nobody tell you it's not going to come. And don't go run off and find yourself a kissing enemy. Amen. When you're wounded sometime for your own good. Am I giving people license to go around there hurting people's feelings? No. I'm not doing that. Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
And you know, if you got a friend that can't take a wound, I guess they weren't a friend, because a friend also loves at all times, even when they're wounded.
Amen.
So say real friends, will love. Even when they're hurt. And love always, this love is talking about, it always manifests affection. I love you, I just can't stand to see your face right now. That's not the kind of love that we're going to have in relationships. Amen. I love you, but it's going to have to be from a distance. Look at somebody and say, you need your friends. People are going to lie and say, you don't need nobody but Jesus. Then it wouldn't be nobody here on earth, but nobody but you and Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. If that's all you needed, that's what all you would have. Amen. He would have just wrote one little love note to you and forgot the whole Bible, and everything would have been written to you, and he didn't have anything about anybody else in there. He wouldn't have kept talking about love ye one another and do all these things if it wasn't important. He's not coming back for individuals. Amen. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. This is real funny. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. When you see people hanging around trash, it's because they don't have any friends. Because maybe they haven't displayed friendship. If you're going out there, you know, when you're full of good relationships, you're not going to want junk. You're not going to want bad ones. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
The full soul, I mean, when you are full, man, anything sweet's going to sound sickening to you. You ever got real full and ate so good, and somebody puts like a chocolate bar. Anybody would go out to a restaurant and then have all this great dessert and all this food, and somebody stick a candy bar in front of your face, it makes you want to throw up, isn't it? You need to be so full in good relationships, amen, to where these old deceitful relationships, because every little relationship, there are some people that are really good at of trying to look friendly. They know exactly what to say. I got some people, boy, I mean, if I believed every word they say, man, I would run off and married them or something. Amen? You really like me that much? Flattering words and all this other. I just want to, we can hook up and we can make it. Amen? But thank God I got full relationships and I'm not deceived by just somebody shooting off the mouth about a bunch of stuff they don't mean. And when you get full of true relationships and godly relationships, you won't jump on any little thing that flies through town. Amen?
Amen.
Some say the full soul. Some say the full soul. You know, you need to get so full in relationships and good relationships, and don't let the devil cheat you, you know, to where when the devil comes your way with these little deceivers, come on, go with me. We go to a club or something. Amen? See, now it says the full soul loatheth, you know, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, not the fed up soul. Amen? So many of us, we get fed up with our Christian brothers and sisters. Amen? That's not full. It says this, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. So say wander. You got to know, Brother Hagin says this, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, and Jesus went about with his own company. Everybody say, your own company.
Your own company.
Guess what? I believe in cliques. Somebody say, praise God. And they'll always be out. There is nothing like your own company. People that have like faith, like passion. Somebody say, amen. And like joy. Somebody say, praise God. You're getting real quiet in here, and I'm teaching good anyhow. Somebody's going to get something out of this. As a bird that wandereth from his place. Know who your people are. Know who your people are and hang. You got to be like Dorothy from The Wiz or from The Wizard of Oz, depending on what ethnic background you are. Amen. Somebody say amen. You know, everybody click your heels 3 times. So say, there's no place like home. Somebody say praise God. So say,
there's no place
like home. And really, I like to claim the East Coast, but home is right here. Home is right here. There ain't nobody like you people. Amen. As a bird that wander from their place, you got to be where God planted you. Somebody say, bloom where you're planted. Don't get so full up and fed up with people and sick of people because they didn't hurt your little feelings. Amen?
Amen.
Wounded your pride. Amen. Wounded your ego. Maybe somebody told you you wasn't Benny Hinn or something. I don't know. Somebody say, whatever it is, you get so wounded and you wander. There's so many people, they can't find any place because they're so busy wandering. They're sick of everybody. Get the most out of your relationships. Get the most out of your friends. Most out of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And say, hey, look, I don't care if the music's bad. I just like the people. There's nothing wrong with that. Somebody say, amen. As a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And what is that place? Somebody say, the place of relationships. Hold on to relationships if they're precious for you. You know, cherish things. And you know what? I got vision of, you know how I'm going to keep relationships. You're just not going to get in an argument next week or something like that. Go beyond that. I have relationships. Say, hey, look, I want to walk into heaven with him. Glory to God. That's real easy. We both going to get there. Why can't we just make it a better go and say, hey, let's get there together? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Do you think of relationships that way? You just going to church with people. Amen. No, I'm going to heaven. I'm finding people to get out there and go to heaven with. We're not the only ones that are going to be going. But we can be sitting in the same car. You ride a subway, there are many different cars going to heaven. You got to find out which one you belong in and get there. Amen? We can all pack up and go to Tulsa. And I tell you what, as soon as we start to get in cars, everybody would say, wait a minute, I ain't going to ride in that one. Let me figure out which one I'm going to ride in. Amen? You know? Your journey, you know, the journey that you have depends on who you choose to ride with or roll with. You can't ride and roll with everybody. That's when my life got better, is when I realized I can't roll with everybody. Amen? And I had to stop beating myself up and guilting myself and getting my feelings hurt because somebody probably didn't want to roll with me. You shouldn't want to roll with people that don't want to roll with you anyhow. Amen? Right. Just say thank God. Stop trying to, you know, you figure out, you know, well, whoop-de-doo for you then. You ain't got the only car. Amen? Going to heaven. You're not going to heaven by yourself. God's got somebody out there for everybody. Somebody say, find your place.
Find your place.
Honor it.
Honor it.
Rejoice in it.
Rejoice in
and
it.
Roll. Don't let the devil shake you from your place. That's how he gets sheep. You know how if a wolf wants to come in and attack or herd or anything like that, what he does, he scatters them. They don't just go in the middle of the whole thing. No, they're gonna make everybody run. And they're going to find the one out on the distance, running out there all by themselves. Say, hey, there's one all by themselves. That's the one I'm going to knock off. How many people have been knocked off because they got on the fringes? Just got out there all by themselves. Well, God will tell me, no, sometimes you're so dumb you can't see stuff. One thing about God, our armor has no backwear. Did you know that? The armor, you know, when you look at all the spiritual armor, you got a helmet, a sword, a shield. You got some bad boots. Amen. I got a little soldier guy out there. I needed an excuse to buy him. Amen. I got a soldier out there, but they said the armor has no, it has a huge shield, but it doesn't have any back. Your butt is wide open. Somebody say,
your butt
is wide open.
Wide open.
When you walk by yourself, you know what happens? Your butt is wide open for everybody to see. Widen your butt wide open because they didn't fight like that. Come here, Brother Rex. I don't know who you think you are. No, look, this is what the armor was like. How they fought in those days, amen, they would come up there, they would either line up all like this with these big shields and do all this other stuff, or they'd turn around this way. All right. Or he has no back where to cover his rear. Or they'd fight like this. That's the way they did it, amen. Say, I got your back. Many people get stabbed and get wounded and get torn. There are certain things you won't overcome until you find out how valuable relationships are, amen, and get somebody to cover your back. Somebody say, cover your back.
Cover your back.
That's why Jesus sent him out in twos, because he realized it was important. It is not a one-man job. Nobody has their own office. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
He sent them out in twos. I told Brother Jesse one time, I usually don't trust anybody out there by themselves. Why are you? How many of you knock off to be by yourself? You know, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you'll notice that too. That every once in a while you get amen, but usually God's got somebody for you. But you got to learn to receive the best that God has. As a bird wandereth from her nest, so is the man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How many of you would like to have some oil and perfume? Somebody say, praise. What does that say? Good friends with good counsel make your life smell sweet. In life without good friends that give you good counsel stinks. Somebody say, amen. Life without good friends and good counsel stinks. But if you want to make life smell a little bit sweeter, amen, get some help. It is complex. You know, don't roll this thing out by yourself. We teach at Nations Church, have a bunch of relationships. Not everybody going to be your best friend, but have at least three. It's not that hard. So say, have at least three.
At least
Jesse, what three relationships do we keep? Yell them out. Come on up here. Just leave it right there. You got to run real fast. What three relationships do we encourage people to keep at all times? Come on, run. Somebody say, how many of y'all like Brother Jesse? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. What three?
You have to have a mentor.
A mentor?
Someone that you're equal with.
A mentoree? No, an equal person. A buddy?
Buddy. And a mentoree.
And a mentoree. So say someone that's been where you want to go. Amen. Someone that's going where you want to go. Amen. And someone that needs to get out of where you've been. Someone said, praise God for that. You want to have a successful life, amen. Get all three of those relationships. When you get sick of one, deal with the other one, amen. You know, because when you get that person that's before you, they're always going to be judging you and say, hey, you're always going to be feeling inferior. I'm not as spiritual. I'll never get there. Every once in a while, you need somebody that's going to be right where you are. Somebody's going to say, hey, look, I'm a praying hand, but sometimes I really don't feel like it, amen. But we're going to do it anyhow. And that's all right. You know, you need someone you can be real with, yourself. Every once in a while, everybody needs to honor people. But, you know, you don't need sister so-and-so all the time or brother so-and-so all the time. Every once in a while, you just need a friend. I'm going to say hallelujah. And then hopefully your friend's going to be godly and righteous. But you need someone you can be honest with, not put on. Do you have anybody you can not put on with? Or you got to put on a show for your people and be on your best behavior? Do you have a friend that knows you and knows where you want to go, and no matter what happens, they're going to be there for you? Not look down on you, but just be there. Somebody say amen and love you. Amen. Not push you nor leave you, but just be there. Do you have anybody that's just there? Do you? Now, if you got somebody that's just there, that's no fun. At least have a little bit of class, a little bit of dignity. At least give back a little bit. If you come out of something, at least go back and help yourself. When I call go back and help yourself, when I help somebody that's been someplace where I've been, I'm helping me. I'm going to go find me. You shouldn't be moping, well, ain't nobody helped me. I was all by myself. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'll go find somebody. When I help them, I'm helping me way back then. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Help yourself by helping somebody else. When you get those three relationships going in your life, I mean life gets, some say, sweet. And don't go overboard in either one of them. Keep yourself balanced and you'll be safe. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Somebody say forsake. Not. Everybody say the word covenant. There is something, you know, just Christian relate. There is something about Christian godly relationship. Somebody say covenant. Covenant means cut. Amen. When you get into relationship with people, you cut. That's why you don't have many of them. If you want the godly kind of relationship, you're going to cut a relationship. Somebody say amen. Every once in a while, it's going to cost you something. Somebody say forsake. Not. I want those kind of relationships in my life. That's why I'm trying to guard the relationships I get in my life. Amen. So when they're going through, guess what? I'm going through. It's not about how fast I get there. Somebody say, as long as we get there. Somebody say amen. Don't, somebody say, don't forsake your friends. We haven't heard that too often, did we? People always hear about this. Stick with your friends, glory to God. There's nothing wrong with that. When you find, now some of them that you think are friends are not friends, you need to let them go. I'm not telling you everybody that say they're a friend is a friend, amen? Somebody say, those that love at all times. Not everybody is your friend that you think is your friend. Amen. But there's some supernatural relationships in your life. Amen. That you need to cut covenant with and be there. Amen. And make it happen. I've got great relationships here. Amen. great relationships here. And the relationships I got here with some of these people, man, that's what life is all about. Amen. Neither go to thy father's house in the day of calamity, for better it is to be near, for better is a neighbor that is nearby than a brother far off. Now, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Are we getting anything out of these relationships? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Somebody say hallelujah. You have a responsibility if you have a friend. Amen. You have a friend to keep your friends looking sharp. Somebody say praise God for that. You find a friend, you get a friend there, you know, keep them looking sharp. Make them look good. Amen. Be more concerned about how they look than what you look. And if they do the same thing, you both will be all right. Because every once in a while, you forget what you look like. And many times when you're trying to sharpen that friend, they might get a little wounded. Amen. Anybody see Jan Crouch when she got her lips fixed? Didn't she look a little wounded? Amen. Amen. Them lips were about out that far when she got them fixed. She went on TV, girlfriend was out like this. Amen. But she got a little wound so she could look good. Amen. How many got an assignment? How many got a friend? How many got at least one or two friends? Do something that's going to make them look sharp. You don't have to do a lot or a whole bunch. Just a little bit. Just think of something to make them look. Somebody say, make them look good. Sometimes you can make a friend look good just by keeping a smile on their face. Amen. Hold on, you got a booger in your nose or something. Amen. Amen. Pastor, your pants are too tight. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say, keep them looking good. How would you like to have those kind of relationships around here? We probably want teachers to get good people on hanging. And if you got those kind of friends that, man, that person looks sharp. I'm going to say, if you got a friend, you got a responsibility. Keep them looking good. Somebody say, sharpen them up. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, verse 4. Somebody says, so what about these friends? What about these friends? Well, I mean, with all these rules and regulations with friends, you don't need a lot of them, about three. Somebody say amen. About three or four, about all you can take. Amen. You gotta love either. You don't want to get in this kind of relationship with everybody, but about three or four. Amen. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enemy with God? Who therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So say, good Lord. Everybody say, good Lord. You cannot be a friend with worldliness and then be a friend of God. The two just don't go hand in hand. Amen. If you're going to try to please the people in the world, the culture of the world, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to displease God. Because whether you realize it or not, they can't stand each other. They try to act like they love God. They don't love God. You got to be saved and born again to love God, because it's man's nature they can't stand God. They don't want anything he stands for. They want to do whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. We've got to be born again to love God. So we can't love the world's culture, the hot things that just come out and fall in love with that stuff, and then keep a hot burning passion for God at the same time. It's impossible. We've got to learn the difference between worldliness and our faith and our Christian life. So don't be forming, you can't be friends with just every little Tom, Dick, and Harry that runs around. You can't do that and be successful and still love God. It's impossible. A lot of people's best friends keep them from being all they can be in God, and they don't know it. You're supposed to be in the prayer closet, amen? or wherever God wants you, because you're going to two different places. Wherever a person's heart is, amen, you know, where their heart is, that's the direction they're headed, and that's a supernatural thing. If their heart has not been converted to Christ Jesus, let me tell you what, they have a yearning deep within them to go to hell, whether you realize it or not. They can't wait to get there. They have a burning desire. Someone said there's a burning supernatural desire for them to be like their father, the devil, until they're born again. And you can't do anything about that other than have that supernatural. You can't save sinners. Only Jesus can. You can't do anything for people like that. All you can do is pray and believe God, because our faith is not mental. Our faith is supernatural and spiritual. And friendship with unconverted hearts will always affect your faith. You got to make up your mind. Somebody say, make up your mind which way you want to go and how you want to live and how you want to walk. And maybe if you become the light and walk like God wants you to walk, they'll make up their mind, or they'll make up their head, amen, to choose God and have their hearts converted too. You can't walk that way. You know, those disciples, you know, when they followed Jesus, they packed up their stuff and just started following. Hold on, Jesus, after this revival is over, I'm going to go back. Amen. Hold on, I'm with the ones I used to carouse around with and do all this other stuff. Amen. You got to make up your mind which way you want to go. And once you make your mind you want to go in that direction, go. You are on your way to heaven. There is no friendship with the world. And that's a lot better than what we think. We don't have to be crazy about it. They taught me when I was coming up, I was just 10 years old. And I grew up in the Church of God in Christ. They told me you couldn't have an unsaved friend. Those people were the world. Don't touch the unclean thing. You ever heard that teaching? There's a scripture about don't touch the unclean thing. And I was just as stupid, 10 years old. They were all around there getting second. They were getting words. See, what I just hear it from the pulpit. And my little distorted mind would believe everything. You know, I would take it literally, you know. And you know, I lived in the suburbs, and I was going to church down there, and I'd walk, and people would say, "Hello, Rod, how you doing?" Somebody say amen. But there is a difference. There's a difference. I ain't going to talk to you. You ain't saved. Get thee behind me, Satan. How are they going to get saved when you got that attitude? No, I'm not. I'm not playing. They were all dragging me to I was dragged out of the classroom many times. Hold the hand of the person beside you. No, I will not. No, I'm serious. And I thought that was the persecution, you know. Come and get him. I am serious as a heart attack. Amen. Believed it. But if I was willing to do it as a kid, you know, a lot of it was ignorance. Amen. But there is something to it. Amen. I was telling one of my friends today, what about Lot and his wife? You know, he said, look, get out, run. And some of y'all need to listen to that CD, Run and Don't Look Back. Because some of us are running into stuff all the time, trying to run for Jesus. Hold on, girl. You know, and running into walls and always getting stuck in something. But we didn't gotten saved, and all of a sudden, when we get saved, all we think about, all he saved us from the first week. Oh, he saved me from sickness and sin. Oh, it's been so good. I'm so glad I'm saved. And you get saved for 3 years, and it's like, I'm missing out on all that good stuff I got saved from. Can't do this. Can't do that. Amen. Then we start looking back. You don't ever want to look back. Lot's wife looked back, and she turned around and looked back. Amen. And she became nothing but a pillar of salt. And that goes to show us something, too. Sometimes people start running with you when you're trying to escape. They start running with you, and all of a sudden they make up their mind and start looking back, and they turn to salt. Pillars of salt don't talk, and they can't comfort. Amen. What would it have been like if Lot stayed there with his wife? Oh, what devotion, you know? Y'all go on and escape. I won't be back there. I'm not going to look back. I'm just going to sit here with my wonderful wife, this pillar of salt right here. Everybody that starts doesn't finish. That's a sad fact, but it's a true fact. But you got to make up in your mind you're going to go all the way. I love everybody in here, amen, but if every one of you decides you're not going to roll from Jesus, I'll bless you, amen, but I'm going to roll right along. Amen. You got to have that mindset that there's nobody. You know, there are a lot of people that are going to be deceived in the last day. You know, there are a lot of people that just, you never thought they would do certain stuff or give up or quit. Amen. You think they'd always going to be there. You know, people are going to quit. People are going to give up, whether you realize it or not, as soon as the heat comes. It's easy to be saved when everybody's shouting, amen. But when the pedal, when the pedal hits the metal, or when you have to hit the road, what's that statement? Somebody help me. When the rubber meets the road, amen, when they really got to act like a Christian or really be the Christian God wants them to be, that's another story. Somebody tell me, anybody can jump and shout and spin around, but can you walk straight? Anybody can fall down, but when you get up off the floor, how are you going to walk when you get up off the floor? Take a look around. Everybody start doesn't finish. Only those that got a mind to finish are going to finish. Amen. You can't let that get to you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When Jesus went to the cross, you know, he was up there with the cross. Every one of his buddies forsook him and ran. Well, forget it. Everybody else would run. I ain't going to that cross. Where's Peter? Peter didn't laugh. All the disciples left. All of the people left. And then he had to go there. Amen. Anyhow, himself. You got to make up your mind the same way. I want to keep long-term relationships. I got one Looney Tune friend out there right now. I don't know what that person is up to. Amen. But I'm sticking with God. I'm sticking with the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you should do the same. I'm trying to get there. Lord, I've kept y'all over. How many more do I have? Well, that's it. Oh, this is the last two. Matthew chapter 18. Go there. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. There, when you have these kind of relationships, God gets something out of those relationships, and so do you. When you get these kind of supernatural relationships, God gets something out of these relationships, and so should you. What are the benefits of Christian relationships? He said this, and again I say unto who? You. He wasn't talking to everybody. He was talking to them. People that were following him and people that had learned about forgiveness. Notice he was teaching about forgiveness. If your friend, offends you, forgive him 7 times 7. That means just people that stay in forgiveness and do all this other stuff. People that stay in forgiveness, people that love and make commitments. He said, those kind of people, he said, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching some things, you see that? That they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Has anybody ever heard of the prayer of agreement? I tell you what, the prayer of faith does a whole lot of stuff, but when you get supernatural relationships together and both of you believe and both of you trust God, amen, and both of you say, hey, look, I'm in this thing with you. I might not be sick right now, but I'm going to be, we're in this day together. I'm going to stand right here until you come out of this sickness, until you come out of this debt, until you come out of this depression or whatever else it is, that if any two of you shall touch and agree. Somebody say touch. See, but so often we're afraid to touch. Somebody say amen. Every once in a while you got to get close and hold on just a little bit. Somebody say amen and say we're going to hold on and bring down the power of God and get this thing taken care of. It should be that way when you get Christians that come to church. We miss out so much. There are certain things you can only get in fellowship. I mean, it should be where you're praying for something, all of a sudden you get there and the faith is there. You just grab something, you know it's got faith. We say, now find a prayer partner. Most, let's just stand here until they finish singing. Wipe the tears from your eyes. Go and be on. And then you just wander back to your seat. No, that's a powerful time. That's a powerful time. That's a time you find someone to get a hold of this Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 scripture. Say, God told me if I can find anybody in this room, any friend that walks in that relationship, and we touch and we agree with the prayer of faith, whatever we ask, it's going to be done for us. That's what God wants to get out of true relationships, and that's what you want to excel to. That's the best part of relationships. Start out, you know, that won't happen until you start to practice in prayer together. Every good relationship should pray. So where it gets to the part, it should get to the point where you just grab hands and say, hold on now, wait a minute for 1 second. Father, right now, I'm with my buddy right now. You better watch out. We're about to pray right now. We're touching a green, and there's something supernatural going to happen because we're two believers. And your word says that when we touch and agree, that's why the devil wants to divide you, because he doesn't want you to get what you need to get from God. He knows that when people can come together, amen, and get to the point to where they get together. Somebody say, link up. In that agreement and link up in that power, that they'll start to receive everything that God has for them. If Satan wants to block heaven from us, all he has to do is divide you from agreeing, at least with one person. So say, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Somebody say hallelujah. How many want to manifest presence of God? Can I tell you another thing? Sometimes you can get the anointing of God all by yourself, but I tell you what, when you get your friend of agreement, somebody say you can get high together. Everybody say that. You can get high together. Say it again. Worldly people, they get friends, and all they do is get high together. But you know what? You find that relationship that God has for you, your prayer partner, amen, your person. I tell you what, the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. That's under his covenant, under his blood. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. There am I in the midst of them. Somebody say, how would you like to have that? Husbands and wives, have that in your relationship. Best friends, have that in your relationships. Brother Jesse and I started the church. About the first 6 months that we were rolling this church, every time we would pray, Jesus would be right there. Not just in our head, but he would manifest himself. We need to get back to that point. Amen. Where your relationship is based on, say, hey, wait a minute, it's just not the two of us here right now. Amen. This is not what it's all about. It's just not two. It's never just the two of you. Amen. Your relationship will be damaged when you just get the two of you in it. Amen. You got to get to the point to where you're together, and then you acknowledge Jesus. Amen. Supernatural, that's when the power of God starts to manifest. So say, God manifests himself when we agree. Hallelujah. We're going to receive. I want to do something before we receive tonight's offering. Amen. Did y'all enjoy that tonight? We all use these things. I really believe this. I know it was kind of dry. Amen. But I really believe this stuff. And if we can get people to start to walk in it, I've seen it turn stuff around. I've seen it work. My mom, I'm going to tell you, y'all get mad at me for saying this, but on the east, in the city that I came from, we've learned to develop in that area. That was a gift that God gave us. We learned the significance of relationship, and there's some prayer groups up there that would blow your head off. My mom's got some people, amen, it don't take them long. When it's time to agree, they really believe in it, and they get together, amen, and say, hold on, girl, we're ready to agree here. And they get that prayer of agreement going, and stuff happens. We've learned about covenants, you know? Learned about covenants, and there are different graces and different great gifts over geographic areas. Brother Copeland have learned about this covenant relationship of agreement. He and Jerry Savelle or Creflo Dollar, they're not out there by themselves. They get together, and boy, when it's time to agree, my boom, something happens. I want you to study this on your own and start to use it. Don't ever fight a battle by yourself anymore, because you're not supposed to. Somebody say amen. Don't ever make the battle fair. Amen. Don't ever make the battle fair. You're not cheating. Somebody say amen. get your back. Get a friend, and as soon as you get your friend involved with it, amen, somebody said to confess your faults or whatever else you got to do, as soon as you get, don't ever face anything like, it's just me, I got to go through this alone. I go to the garden alone. Where the deer, not even Jesus wanted to go to the garden alone. He said, will you go to the garden and pray with me? He had to bear the cross alone, but that was Jesus, amen? And even he asked them, will you come and pray with me? Watch with me. None of your friends are going to ask you to hang on a cross, I hope. Amen? But you can expect supernatural. How many of you want to see this power start to manifest in our church if we start to believe it? And I want to see that faith and intensity in your prayer life to where you know you got this revelation on the inside and say, hold on now. This prayer of agreement is going to work. Somebody say, amen, you're ready to go to higher, to the next level. Find yourself a prayer partner real quick. Everybody find one. Glory to God. Just get up for two. I want to pray for 3 minutes, and we're going to practice this. Amen. Come on down here, Brother Jesse. Find somebody. Get Brother Dean. Hallelujah. You got to run. Amen. Find yourself. Somebody say, this is why. Look at that person in the face. Say, this is why I'm here. And you ought to be glad about it. No, you tell them. Tell them again. You ought to be glad about it. Girl, you don't know. Or boy, you don't know. Tell them. You don't know what you've got in front of you. You should be glad about it. So you can't hold anybody else's hand and have stuff happen. Say, when you hold my hand like this, stuff happens. I'm not like everybody else. They don't believe that. Tell them. Say, there's something within me that when we grab and touch and agree, anything we ask, Jesus said, it'll be done for us. I'm going to grab a hold of this power right now. And we're going to make something happen by getting an agreement right now. So you're about to see me do something. Saying, I'm anointed too. Say, oh, aren't you glad you found me? Woo! So say, I really believe it. Now I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. Just start to pray. Amen. If not, just stand there and look stupid. Amen. No. But I want you to pray. I want you to ask, get an agreement on anything right now. Right now, God's going to do that for you. You just get there and you find an issue, and I want you to get in agreement and pray and ask God to do it right now. Glory to God. Go on and do it. Hallelujah. Say whatever it is. Say whatever it is. Don't be afraid to ask. Whatever it is. Say, and I want that person to say, look at it. I believe God can do that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, you're never going to walk alone again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You're never alone. Don't you dare go out there by yourself. Take somebody with you and win. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pray for them. They need you. Lamanonose. Baka Fomanahia. Bosalenichi. Brangadelobahai. Vadabarusara. Oh, let them put them to flight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. 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 Acknowledge Jesus. Acknowledge Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, you really do, don't you? Say hallelujah. Yes, she does. Glory to God. Say, I'm here for you. Glory to God. Thank God. You're blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Did y'all get an agreement? You need somebody to agree with? You better find somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to the Lord. Yes.
You all agreed for all scriptural things, right? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. What are you doing back there?